Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, the last few days have been kind of, instrumental in what I do in journalism and I do in the sport. You know, as you all know, a few months ago I was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Ronald Mann, and we kind of took on a plight to bring the para aspects of jiu-jitsu to the forefront, but we kind of took it a little bit further. We wanted the opportunity for para fighters to be able to partake in world-class tournaments, not just para tournaments. The opportunity was given to us this week by Fuji Sports, Fuji BJJ, and a tremendous professor and friend of mine, that being J.W. Wright. You know, so much kudos to him to allowing, you know, para fighters to come in as an equal on September 8th in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a tremendous attribute that you added to the sport. It shows that your heart is where it truly needs to be. And that's kind of where our show is going to go today. You know, my mutual host today, as usual, on this para fighter show is Ronald Mann. You know, Ronald, when you look at our guest today, I got to tell you, I mean, I've been through hell and back, but these two special guests have truly touched my heart just reading their bios.
Yes, thanks for having me on again, Don. I was fortunate enough to fight with Jess and Stacy in Abu Dhabi this spring, and we all kind of crewed up together and hung out the entire week we were there. And it just listening to their stories, connecting with them, and then watching them fight with the passion and the heart and the strength that they have, it gave me great hope that we're doing the right thing around the world, not just as a single para fighter here. This is for everybody.
You know, and it's weird because I live this, you know. I'm handicapable. I never like the word or the terminology handicapped. I mean, because that describes something that is fixed. And I am by no means fixed. I'm not broken either, I guess, but I'm by no means fixed, you know. And so I use the terminology handicapable because I tell you what, there's not a 20-year-old that can climb the side of the cage like I do. And I think the reason I made it that way is because I had to prove to myself, not to the world, but to myself, that there is no indifference in me just because I'm missing a limb. You know, I'm going to jump to the guest here in a second, but I kind of want to correlate my first question to both of them, and I'm not even going to try to say Stacy's last name because I know I'm going to butcher it, and we'll let him say that when I bring him up. But, you know, we've all fight for just equality in life. We all fight for, you know, that voice, because in a lot of ways we are the voice of the voiceless, and we're even the voiceless ourselves in some aspects. What does it mean for you, Jess, and for you, Stacy, to have a professor like J.W. Wright open up Fuji and allow para-athletes not just to compete, but in their own categories? And I'm going to start with you, Jess.
I think that's pretty freaking awesome. I'm still, like, in the loop of what exactly Fuji is doing. I'm not too sure exactly what everything is. I just understand the broad goal that they're trying to reach. And, of course, I haven't really been in tune because I've been so busy with work and school and stuff. But can you tell me actually a little bit of what their plight is with Fuji?
Well, actually, all the Fuji BJJ tournaments around the United States and around the world are governed by Fuji Sports. And I'm sure you've heard of the Respect tournaments, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, they also are the promoters of the Respect tournament. Professor J.W. Wright is under the Gracie lineage, and he's a tremendous professor here in the Midwest, and he's known worldwide for what he's done in the art of jiu-jitsu. He's one of the most profound professors I've ever met. So, you know, being a photographer in this business, I've been able to correlate and associate myself with some of the greatest practitioners in the world, and he happens to fit in that category, and He throws a tournament. Ronald, you were just in his tournament up there in Michigan to win, brother.
Yeah, I fought in Lansing, Michigan. That's my hometown. They had a tournament there on my birthday, and I was able to travel home and fight against able-bodied fighters. I took gold in gi and bronze in no gi.
Yeah, now, you know, when people think of Fuji, you know, they've been around for a while, but they're now going global. They're taking over the sport because it's truest to form, probably one of the most greatest aspects of the art of jiu-jitsu, because it's defined by practitioners, it's ran by practitioners, it's people who truly have a love and desire and faith to see all aspects of the sport succeed. You know, Stacey, I'm going to jump to you. What does it mean for you to have somebody like Fuji open their arms and say, you know what, you're not going to be defined anymore, but we're going to give you your own categories. We're going to let you go into this tournament and have your own categories, let you go in and do what you do best without any quality feelings towards you.
You know, it's huge, especially for somebody my size, because I'm 230 pounds on the best day. So guys at my weight class with two legs, they're usually about 6'4", and they stand and tower over top of you before you begin. And if you're unfortunate enough to land on the bottom, having one leg sometimes is pretty difficult to sweep a giant guy off of you. So to be able to be in a division with guys like myself, it's huge. It lets you practice a sport that, you know, sometimes you don't get to work everything that you learn. But with other athletes who are likewise disabled, you get to practice a lot of the modified moves that you were able to make. However, learning how to deal with guys who have one leg seems to be a little bit of a challenge as well for guys who have one leg. So I mean, it's massive. It's the beginning of a mountain of organizations that are about to start, hopefully, having para divisions in them. And I think they all want to, but, you know, the amount of people here in Canada, we're far and spread compared to how you guys are, so we don't have a conglomeration of handicapped or disabled athletes, you know, in one area. So it's very difficult for that to work here in Canada. But in the States, it's a huge thing. I mean, I hope that we get to have that here as well.
Yes. Before I jump to Ronald Mann, I'm going to ask a question, and I'll perplex it to both of you. You know, I'm like I said, I'm missing my leg. I had to go through a horrific part of life, you know, and me and Ronald pretty much have lived the same path, and I think that's why God brought us together. You know, what was it like? Well, Jess, you were born like this, you know, but you can still answer the question. You'll understand. But what is it like for both of you to grow up in a world or grow up in an aspect, as with you, Stacey, where you do feel, you know, that difference? You do feel that people stare and point and make fun of you. How does it make you feel when you want that right for equality? You want that right to be, you know, to feel normal, I guess is the best way to feel accepted, but yet society doesn't allow that. And I'll start with you, Jess. What are your thoughts in that aspect?
You know, I was born like this, but, you know, growing up, it was really hard just because I had so many different surgeries, you know, in my adolescence, in elementary school and into middle school. And, you know, being at that age, kids are kind of like apples in general. They don't know how to behave. And so, you know, they always, like, point out that whenever something is different. And so I remember one of my surgeries, my arm had to be in the upright position, kind of like this position your arm would be if you're trying to get a figure four on someone, some mount. And it was just stuck like that in a bright pink cast because I had nerve surgery. And all the kids were like, why is your hand, like, right up in the air? And, you know, it wasn't, like, that bad or that mean at the time, but because I was so little, I just thought that, you know, they hated me or that it was just different. I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be like everyone else. And so my arm still deformed, and in middle school, my arm was actually, like, really bent. My tendon in my elbow was really tight, and it wasn't straight. And so I asked my doctor how to straighten that, and so I went through a two-year casting process where my arm was in a cast, just gradually straightening it out, and it's still not straight to this day. But I don't know. It was just emotionally and just mentally inflicting. It hurt a lot growing up, just from my appearance, especially I think being a girl too, you know, society has that image that you're supposed to look like this and be like that. You're supposed to be skinny and stuff and beautiful. And I wasn't like that growing up. And I think that just kind of hurt, you know, my ego especially. And so I actually went through a darker phase in high school because of that too. And I think I'm going off topic, but I never felt normal, and I always wanted to feel normal, and I always wanted to feel accepted. And I never adapted to the sense of, like, this is my actual normal. I mean, it does now. Like, when it comes to movements-wise, this is my normal. But appearance-wise, this isn't normal. I always knew that growing up.
Hey, we're normal. Everybody else is just different. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, Stacy, you lost your leg, you know, in 1987. You were 20 years old. What perplexed in the mind in your life, and you know, from that point forward? Because, like I said, I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name because I don't want to butcher it, brother.
Oh, it's just like it looks, Duke Scher.
Doesn't look anything okay. Like that, I know. Yeah, but
wow, are you
Jeff,
Canadians, man?
You Canadians, yeah, we're always apologizing for something. I was fortunate that I didn't lose my leg at a younger age because, like Jess said, kids can be just so mean. And, you know, when somebody's different, they usually focus on it. Even now, today, the kids, it's not that they're mean, but they're the only ones who really draw attention to it. Out of confusion, you know, interest. I don't know how many times a day I hear behind me, "Mom, look at that guy's robot leg." So, I mean, I don't really suffer too much now, but when I first lost it, I went through, it was like a little guy syndrome. Like it was, I don't think they have a syndrome for a one-legged guy, but I felt the need to have to prove that I was equal to everybody else. It was just something that I, you know, it wasn't important to anyone else but me. Nobody was out to get me. Nobody, you know, my friends were close, and, you know, it's, I didn't really go through too much other than in my own brain. I thought my world today. You know, you're 20 years old, you lose your leg, you don't know what's there, because I hadn't even seen an amputee up until that point. I was my first amputee that I had ever seen. But to have this now, to be able to have a stage where we can practice para-jiu-jitsu with others like ourselves, it is a feeling of equality. We get to go on the mat. We don't have our limbs with us. We just get to be free of everything, and it's who we are. It's we get to express who we are on the mat, and it's a really powerful feeling. For me, anyway.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Even, I mean, I'm a practitioner, but I feel the same way in life. I'm going to toss the mic to the one and only Ronald Mann, the guru, man. Let's hear what you got, brother.
You know, I'm reflecting back on the time. I've known Stacy for a little over a year now. We fought together in Abu Dhabi last year as well. And I've known Jess for about half a year now, and listening to their stories, it is so powerful and inspiring to me from my end. Like, people talk about, you know, we're doing great stuff, but I don't see it as anything more than what another person would do. You know, when you look at the parafighters that are stepping out on the mat with us, you know, we're all equal out there. That's the beautiful thing about this, is it's not, you know, we have para categories now to where we're able to fight somebody who has our ability level. And that's where the equality comes in. It's not that I can't fight an able-bodied guy and win, but to be able to fight somebody that's my equal, that's the same as fighting somebody that's your weight or your belt or your age. There's no reason that we shouldn't have a para category. And now, looking at Fuji coming in, and J.W. Wright, this is a dream come true. September 8th, I'm going to fight in St. Louis. 2 weeks later, I'll be in L.A., and I'll fight para categories there for UAE JJF. This is blowing up around the world. I'm actually going to be able to fight against able-bodied people, but then compete against people that are my equal.
Yeah.
You
know,
yeah, that is huge.
It's a tremendous day for all of us. You know, Stacy, I'm going to go to you first, and then I'll let Ron jump back on, because this is something that truly, truly touches my heart. I mean, because you've actually seen double darkness in your life. And your story is so inspiring. It truly has touched me. You know, you lose your limb, you know, and I know the suffering. I know the thoughts. I've been there, you know, and I'll tell you, because I don't know you guys, but Ronald already knows this story. I had a gun pulled to my head, you know. I didn't want to live like this anymore. And at that time, my wife walked in, and she threw a camera down on the bed just as I had the gun to my head and was going to pull the trigger, and she said, quit feeling sorry for yourself. You know, here you go. Go do what you love to do. And it was the greatest thing that could ever happen for me in my life, because it gave me back an opportunity to exist, and not only to exist, but to go back into a sport I love, not in the context that I was in before, but, you know, nonetheless, I was still there. And it was kind of cool, because I've got to hear the wisp of a fist, feel the fighter run across the mat, hear the leg kicks, everything, but I didn't get hit, so I didn't feel the pain. You know, so that was kind of a benefit. That was a benefit of it. But, you know, I also know the dark side, like I said. You know, take me back to the darkest moment in your life, Stacy, cool. And how did you overcome that
right
moment,
up the hop,
brother?
Eh?
Yeah.
Man, the darkest moment of my life, it was a stretch of a period. It was it probably went on for a lot longer than I should have let it go on, for sure. But it started with pain meds, trying to escape the pain, and then trying to escape reality. And sooner than later, you know, what you had wasn't enough. I think my darkest point was pretty much when I jumped from pain meds to harder narcotics to numb myself from my reality. And it went for a while. I lost everything. I lost, you know, my person. I lost my family. Lost a lot. I was just glad my kids weren't around to see any of that. So, but my darkest time went for a long time. I think prison actually was the one that saved me. It, tough love from, of course, mom and dad. But I think at the end of the day, the reality of being locked in a cage for your behavior, and you can't get out. There's no hope. There's no nothing. It gave me a lot of time to look inside myself, why I made the decisions I made, what made me do these things. And I began to realize that it was, I mean, I don't like to blame it on my disability, but the sudden realization of a life-changing moment like that, and I focused on what I couldn't do rather than what I could do, and it became overwhelming. Homeless, you know, you're bouncing around. It was a really dark time, but I'm grateful for it, because it's made me who I am today. It's given me a better understanding of people. I finished a 2-year program for addictions counseling. I thought for a little bit I might want to help other people with that, but I think it was so close to home for me that I would have just swallowed up all of their stresses and their drama, and I figured that it might be a little bit too hard, because I do that. I take other people's stress on, and I carry it with my own. So unfortunately, I never got to do anything with it, but my darkest time was definitely through my addictions. It's and the loss of everything that you hold dear to yourself. You realize that you're alone, and it's because of you that you're alone. It's not because of your disability. It's not because people didn't want to be around you. It's they didn't want to see me in the spot in life that I was in, because up until then, it was a sunshiny day. And then you lose your leg, and it's still a sunshiny day, but it's dark in your head, and everybody tries to explain, you know, there's, you know, it's still a sunshiny day, Stacy. But I didn't accept that. And I think I had to get lost in my addictions in order to become who I am today. So I'm grateful for it. But that was most certainly the darkest time of my life.
Most definitely. And thank you for sharing. You know, I'm going to jump to you, Jess, real quick. You know, we speak about cruelty, bullying, aspects of life that will never change, nor can we perplex them in another angle. All we can do is be the voice that encourages change. But there was a moment in your life where Jeremy Sita and Luis Alvarez happened to be teaching a seminar, and you were the only student that showed up. What did it mean for you to finally feel that recognition and have professors of that magnitude instill aspects in you that are still portrayed today?
No, it definitely meant a lot. When I went, I almost just wanted to turn around and go back out the door. And I think it kind of helped me that no one else was there, because I probably would have left as soon as I saw other guys. But I was so nervous seeing these two really large dudes just sitting there on the mats, like, talking and rolling and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? But, no, I'm super glad that I stuck around with it, because that day changed my life. And it meant so much that they still took the time out of their day to just teach me, you know. Later on, just like a few months ago, I was talking with them again about that day, and they said, you know, they really just wanted to pack up and go home just because of the turnout. And, you know, they kept with it, and, you know, it just continued. And I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to repeat the question just so I can stay on topic again.
You're fine. Basically, I was saying, what did that day mean to you moving forward? You know, having them not only, you know, continue the seminar, but to give you that extra time to show you the aspects and angles that you can perplex in the art of jiu-jitsu with their training, knowing that you had this hindrance in your mind and your thought.
Right. Sorry. I think I'm just in a bad connection in my house. It was a little scratchy, but I'm gonna do my best to answer that. Basically, it just kind of overall showed me that, you know, people still cared, and people care so much about the sport. And I think I saw how much that they truly cared about it, and I wanted to be a part of it. Jiu-jitsu has actually been in my life a little bit longer. My uncle used to train and teach jiu-jitsu, and so I've kind of always known about it, but I never thought it was for me until that day when they showed me that I can actually adapt the movements for my body type and do it successfully, especially against a larger opponent and especially against an attacker. So I just saw their passion and their love for it, and I wanted that for myself.
Amen to that. You know, Ronald, you're my mutual host. I'm going to force you to ask some questions here, brother, so the floor is yours.
I'm listening to my family talk about their trials and their upcomings, and, you know, it fascinates me. I mean, it's not often that I get to hang out with all this crew. You know, we only get to see each other once in a while for tournaments and traveling around. Everybody's busy and got lives to be able to catch up with them on this show. It's very much an honor. Jeff, so when you finally found jiu-jitsu, you talk about when you were younger, and you, Stacey, and I, when we were over there in Abu Dhabi, we talked a lot about our lives growing up and coming up through jiu-jitsu, and you had a pretty hard time growing up, but now that you talked about before that, you know, society has this ideal, this standard that people have to look a certain way or have to behave a certain way. Now, can you explain, like, how you see yourself as beautiful in jiu-jitsu?
I still wouldn't use the term beautiful. I get very sloppy on the mat sometimes, but I think I would describe myself as very unique. I like to do some weird stuff on the mats, I guess that's the best way to explain it. But, you know, earlier in my life, I would have think that I need to change myself to, you know, be better towards these standards, versus now I don't think I need to change at all. I think you can kind of relate.
I think it's just the opposite for you. I think that that you are the change now. When you look at what we're trying to pull different fighters from around the world, and you're one of the few female para fighters that I've fought. And can you talk a little bit about when we went to Abu Dhabi, about your two fights that you had? And I'd really like you to focus on the second one. That's where I saw your grace and humility shine through, and the who you are impressed me in that moment.
Yeah, all right. So I already told you before in person that I don't like talking about myself, but I think you're really pushing me to talk, so I'll do my best, Ron.
It's an interview, but yes.
But the first match, the one that I was really looking forward to was with this girl from Brazil. And, you know, I've actually followed her Instagram before this fight. I've known about her. And just from her posts, she's won all of these medals, these tournaments and stuff. She is missing her right arm and stuff. And so I was really looking, she's also a blue belt, a bit heavier than me, but, you know, the closest I've ever been to an equal fight. And so I was looking really forward to this fight. I was going to know what it was like to roll against someone who couldn't use the other arm, you know, because she didn't have her other arm, her right arm. So it was mirrored. So it was like her right arm, my left arm. It was a very, very fun roll. You know, I took home the gold medal with a submission, and it was just a very rewarding experience. My second fight, they asked me to fight this other girl who didn't have a match, another blue belt. I can't remember her disability. I think something with cerebral palsy where she just couldn't, you know, move like the rest of us. And so they asked me to give her a fight because she didn't have anyone else to fight. And so I did. And I wanted to give her a fight that she would remember. You know, I didn't want to go easy or anything, but I wanted, you know, I also wanted her to have a spot on the podium because when I stood there in front of everyone, it just felt amazing. You know, I wanted to share that with her too. And so, you know, before the mat, I kind of studied how she walked and how she moved a little bit just so that I would be able to try to match myself with her as best as possible, try to, like, adapt my movements to her movements so that she would also have the same experience I just had with an equal and fair fight. And so we went about 3 to 4 minutes, and, you know, I used no strength at all. I just used body movement, and I tried to use my arms a bit more because it seemed that she used more arm strength. And so I used my arms a bit more in that sense, and she ended up getting on top and getting the choke. And I felt, honestly, it was the best feeling ever. Just seeing her smile afterwards, she just got her face just lit up, and it was honestly the best feeling ever. Just seeing her, you know, cry afterwards, like, she did it, you know. Great.
This is the beautiful thing about para jiu-jitsu is we have these categories, and even though we may not be in the same category, we can limit our attack, say, somebody who is wheelchair-bound. We don't attack their legs, even though they are still there. They're not a viable option. That makes it an equal fight for us. And when I watched you fight the girl, like, you didn't just blow through her. You fought her as an equal, and that was beautiful. That to me really showed who you were. Stacy, I want to talk to you a little bit. If you could go ahead and you know what I'm going to bring up here. I'd like you to talk about the topic we had. And then I'd like to talk
to Ronald, you're cutting in and out, brother.
Yeah, your audio is horrible, bro.
Is this any better?
Yeah, it's a lot
there
better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, Stacy, can you talk about your two fights that we had this summer or this spring? And then, you know, I'm going to go there. I'd like to talk about, if you would, meeting me in the hallway afterwards and what that meant to you in that moment.
The one that you shared with the boxing magazine.
That was a beautiful moment in my life, man. And you gave me that gift.
It was a huge moment, man. It was emptying. If that makes any sense. You and I. I mean, my daughter had mentioned that mom would be so proud, and that's a difficult topic for me to go to. But at that moment, it was beautiful because we had just, you and I. We had just fought right to the end. I mean, and he pulled that armbar off. I don't even know how the hell it happened with just, you know, less than a minute to go kind of thing. It was, you and I, you cried and I cried, and it was like a bonding moment that you can't get with somebody just walking up and introducing yourself on the street or even an acquaintance that you've had. Like that moment and our fight that we had for Absolute,
it changed that trip for me. It made it, I think it was one of the most beautiful moments that I've ever shared with him. You know, and it was weird because you just happened to be there. I mean, how often do you get to hug Kratos? You know what I mean? yeah, it was.
Do you want to explain to Don's listening audience why that was such an important statement from your daughter?
My wife had passed away from cancer 2 years ago this April. It was an aggressive cancer that nobody knew was happening. She had had a seizure, and 11 days later she died. It was very tough. We didn't get any time to really to deal with it. It was just slapped us all in the face, and we were forced to. And I spent most of my time helping my kids get over it. I never really dealt with the loss myself, and I still haven't to this day. That's why talking about it gets me a little emotional. But when she had said that, you know, and I know she would have been proud. My sister said she was going to disown me if I cried, so I better put an ad up on Craigslist, I guess, for new sisters. But so when she had said that, it just hit home so hard because I know she would have loved to have been there and to have seen it. You know, I was alone there. I didn't really have anybody. So when she told me that, I was really fortunate to have you standing there with me, because otherwise I would have looked like, you know, an idiot standing there in the hallway crying by myself, 51-year-old man. I was pretty grateful you were there because I was able to bury my head in you. So, yeah, we had a moment, and it was a huge moment for me. And I think that has catapulted you to the very top of my ladder of respect, my friend.
I appreciate
you shared that.
And Don, but I'm just going to chime in on the end of that. Like, to me, that's what this is about. Like, this is the humanity of para-jiu-jitsu. You see kids growing up that are bullied, and then they become equals through para-jiu-jitsu. You see guys that have dark times and come back from unhealthy behaviors and being imprisoned and lead really healthy lives and have their families back. Achieving equality through this sport, like there's no other sport to me to where we can have this kind of lifestyle, this kind of equalness.
You know, I have to agree with you, but then in a certain criteria, I have to disagree with you. And I don't think we've ever had a disagreement. So this is kind of this is a first on the show. You know, people say we have to be able to enjoy and finally find our peace as para-athletes. That's an aspect of life that should never have been circumvented. You know, we all bleed, we all sleep, we all eat the same way. We're all equals to begin with. If the world was blind, would we know any different? No, we wouldn't. You know, society says, let's point the finger. Society says, you're different. But in our hearts, we know there isn't any indifference. You know, so with that being said, we're constantly trying to prove ourselves. We're having to create an aspect in our life and in our realm that nobody else has to. So in that aspect, it's an injustice in the way society is ran. But we all know society is cruel, and we must, you know, perceive it, accept it, and move forward in life. You know, Jess, I'm going to jump to you real quick because I seen a statement that you had made, and, you know, it kind of bothered me, to be quite honest with you. I know you're not the type to open up, but there was a statement that you made that you were going to show people because people said that you couldn't do certain aspects or you would never meet certain criteria in your life. So what does it mean for you to finally see that point and see beyond the limitations?
For me, it's a personal victory. You know, I've just been told by so many people, even people, you know, in my family, that I can't do certain things, I won't ever amount to anything, or, you know, just jokingly people will say, oh, you can't do that because of this, and, you know, that always bothered me, especially as a little kid, because I believed them. And then my mom was actually the one who told me to flat out just knock it off, and she put me into softball, and I actually did really well with it, and that just kind of like lit a little flame to do more. But you know, I still heard like, oh, well, she does that, but she can't like do this. You know, she won't be able to like defend herself. And then like one day, like I was attacked and stuff, and so that just like really bothered me. It's like, oh, you know, I can't do this, and that just like totally threw me at the bottom of the barrel again. But then I found jiu-jitsu, and I got to prove them wrong, so it's a victory for me. It's a victory to finally do what people have said that I can't.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take it just a little bit deeper before I jump to Stacy. You know, and Ron's probably kind of heard this particular question, but I'm going to put it in a roundabout way. You know, when you look at what's been perplexed in your life and you have an understanding of it now, what does it truly mean for you to stand in front of that mat, knowing what you're doing is changing the world and creating history?
It's a sense of euphoria, kind of. Like, I don't know, like, when I was in Abu Dhabi, I just, after the match, I stood on the mats and I was just looking at everyone else, you know, around me, and like people in the stands, they were like cheering and applauding and stuff. They were really hyped about all of our matches and stuff. And I just, yeah, I actually did kind of start crying just because of like, wow, I'm part of history, you know, I'm making history. And it's just, it's a crazy feeling because sometimes like it doesn't like be like, oh, nah, it's not that big of a deal, or no, I'm not really making history, but you are. And I don't know, it's hard for me to grasp this sometimes and make it reality when it just kind of slips my mind sometimes. I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but that's how I can kind of
describe it. If it comes from your heart, yeah, if it comes from your heart, there is no definition of an answer. You know, true is true. You know, Stacy, brother, I'm going to kind of go a little bit deep on you, and I hope you don't mind, man.
Not at all, my friend.
I just want to share the relevance of you know, people bitch about life and how hard it truly is, but I don't think everybody has a true perspective of how life truly is. You know, we talk about losing your limb. You know, we haven't really dwelled too much into the multiple amputation aspect, the blood clots, things of this nature. I had to go that route too, my friend. You know, my stump has had to be cut down. If I have, heck, if it has to be cut down anymore, I'll be above the knee. You know, but, you know, we go through these trials, we go through these tribulations. You got addicted to pain meds. You ended up in prison. And ultimately, you lost your wife. What does it mean for you now, looking back at the path that you had? Now when you look over your shoulder and you look at the path that you've created moving forward, what does it truly mean to you, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
Well, not sure where to go with that, Don. What was the ultimate goal of that question that we have to come to? It was kind of a little overwhelming there, listening to your revised story as well.
Well, let's just put it this way. What retribute have you found in yourself going through so much adversity?
I wouldn't, you know, people will look back and they'll say, God, I wish I didn't do that, or I wish I didn't do this, and, you know, my life would be so much better if I had just taken a different path. Where I'm at right now in my life, with my kids, I have good friends, I have a great training gym, I'm close friends with everybody there. I wouldn't want my life to change in any way. And because of my path, it's led me to this point right here. And I don't think I would be at this point in my life with the thoughts that I have and who I am today if I didn't live the life that I did to get here. And yeah, it was turmoil. I lost a lot. It was insane. And I just couldn't get out of it. It was a spiraling moment for me, and it continued to spiral down. And at the time, you know, I wondered what else is there. And then I ended up going to prison, and it turned out there was prison. So there's quite a bit more. But for me, getting to here today the path that I took, I wouldn't change it. It's frightening, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And maybe I wouldn't have ended up here. You know, just lucky maybe. But I wouldn't change anything. I'm proud of who I am today. I'm super proud of all of my kids, and you know, the life that I'm creating for myself. I wouldn't want to change it. I'm really happy with everything where I'm at in life. I'm not wealthy. You know, I don't own all the toys that I one day thought that I would have, but they're not important anymore, and you realize that. Everything is about experience and people that we know. You know, I don't have much empathy for people who stub their toes anymore. That's a definite give-me. But anything else, I think it wouldn't have made me who I am today, and I'm pretty grateful for the people in my life, and they wouldn't be there either if I hadn't have done the things I did. So our dark paths sometimes lead us to a very light future, and that's where it's at. And I'm hugely honored to be a part of this growing sport. It's, you know, we're paving the way for future generations of, you know, athletes who are coming up in the para divisions. So I'm grateful with who I am, and my life choices, unfortunately, they weren't great, but it's led me here today, and I guess I'm grateful for that. I don't know if I've answered your question,
you truly did. You answered it with your heart. You know, I have one more question, and then I'm going to pass it back to Ronald for a second. You know, you talk about in your stories, in your thoughts, and in your bios, you know, about how you and your son, you have three children, but how you and your son, you know, dwelled completely into the world of the art of jiu-jitsu. How defining was that for you to be able to have that aspect of your son to continue to strive for greatness as a para athlete?
I do it, you know, and this is going to sound a little odd, but I do everything I do right now for my kids. You know, it's exciting for me to be in para jiu-jitsu, but I'm there to show them that we can do what we set our minds to do. We can achieve the things that sometimes we don't think that there's a path to that. We aren't going to get to this greatness that we long for, but perseverance is the path, and I'm showing my children that by going through para jiu-jitsu. My son and I being, you know, buried in the jiu-jitsu culture like we did, I think it saved both of us. It saved me because I got to live my life, you know, and see my son evolve in a sport that he's a giver. He's a natural at it. It's just, it's insane. And I originally only joined to keep him interested in the sport. I mean, I got coerced. I sat there for weeks on the sidelines, and my professor kept saying, come on out, we can make this work. And I'd say, no, we can't. But he was right. And I think without him and the jiu-jitsu lifestyle that we had, well, my son would be lost. With the loss of his mother and a lot of other things that has happened, transpired. He's lost his sister to cancer. He's all within the last few years. He would be buried. He's an emotional fella. So jiu-jitsu saved his life as well as it saved mine. And I do these things to show the kids that we can do what we set our minds to. Even when you're old, I mean, we still have dreams, and it's important to follow them. And I guess that's what saved me.
You know, before I pass it to Ron, I think it's only fair, Ron, don't you think, that I kind of fill them in on a little bit aspect of me?
Love to hear.
I think it was, you know, one day I lost my grandfather. Five days later, you know, I get a call that my mother's in the hospital. I go out there, my mother passes away in my arms, and I was in a wheelchair. I just had probably my 30 or 40th surgery on my foot, and I fell out of my wheelchair, and I heard my foot hit the ground. And everybody on the show knows what that means. It was, you know, there was no saving my leg. I knew that at that instant. So I had to come home to lose my leg. To the following month, which is, you know, June, and the month, you know, a day before my birthday, my sister committed suicide. So,
holy shit.
You know, I lost all the greatest attributes of my life. I lost all the people that instilled the greatest knowledge that I ever accrued, all in one fell swoop. Not to mention losing my leg. So I understand the path, brother. I understand the glory of where you're at now. And, you know, the trials and tribulations are horrendous, but it takes a great man to pick himself up and move forward in life. And it takes a great individual, as with Jess, to move forward in life and get a greater understanding of what we're meant and what our purpose is. And I think that's a tremendous attribute of why I do this show and why I continue to do this show. You know, Ron, I'm going to put you on the spot again, bro. You're the mutual host. You're listening, but you're not asking, my brother. It's your turn.
Yeah. This is a good show for me. I've been looking forward to this ever since you offered to allow me to co-host with you, you know, be able to talk to my friends and teammates that I've been able to train and fight with, you know, hear their stories told by them. So before I get off to train myself, I think we should start talking about the future a little bit. Jess and Stacy, if you guys each want to take a turn and see, fill us in where you think the sport's going to be going, where you see yourself in 3 to 5 years, and where do you think that para jiu-jitsu is going to be able to take us as a culture and as a society?
You go ahead. That's a three-part question. It's going to take me a minute just to kind of catch up with that.
Yeah, you know, Stacey, I was just thinking the same thing. Well, I'm a student. I'm a full-time student, so I'll start with my studies first. I'm actually graduating on Friday, so that's fairly exciting.
Nice.
I'm still going to do some summer courses just because, you know, I want to get done as soon as possible. But in the fall, I'll be moving to Bellingham, Washington to attend Western Washington University. I'm going to get my bachelor's in general psychology, and then get my master's in occupational therapy. That way, you know, I can break them on the mats, fix them in the office.
That's right. You're just creating work for yourself.
Right? Gotta bring in the study income, right? No.
That's right, yeah.
I've always had an interest with occupational therapy. I think that's just because my occupational therapist in life has just been a really huge influence on my life, and I kind of want to be that for someone else in the future. So I'm expecting to be in school for another 5 years, maybe more, depending on how long residency takes. But, you know, I still plan on competing and training every second. You know, I was talking to the ASB directors at Western the last time I was there about starting up a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu club on campus. That way I could still train for free. You know, I was going to bring in some local help. I'm not too sure if they want to share that they will be doing this just now, so I'll keep their names private just for the meantime, because I haven't talked to them before this interview, so I don't know if they want it to be released just quite yet. But yes, I'll be training with them. I was also looking at some other gyms in the area just to so I can continue to train and compete. In September, I will be going down to LA with Ronald and competing in the Grand Slam. And then in October, I'll be going down to LA again for the SJJIF Championship. That will be my second time competing with them. My very first para tournament was with them, and I'd like to keep that you know, an annual thing, just to kind of like, yeah, this is my first. I'm gonna keep at it, keep supporting. It's a great tournament, awesome as well. Terrifically ran. As for para jiu-jitsu, I expected to.
Defending champion too.
Oh yeah, I think that too. Yeah, gosh, crazy. But as for para jiu-jitsu, I think it's gonna blast off here, honestly, in the next year, just with so many huge organizations picking it up, you know, with the SJJAF, the UAE, JJF, with Fuji, and then I hear a rumor that IBJJF is picking it up in a year or two. You know, it's making a comeback. It's in the Olympic talks that people want to get para jiu-jitsu in there. So it's going to be big, honestly. I'm pretty excited to be a part of it in the next couple of years.
Oh, it will be in there, my friend. It will be in there, you know. And no disrespect to the IBJJF. I'm not their biggest friend right now, but you know, when I'm given a reason to fight, you know, It doesn't matter if you're the king of a country or a pauper in the alley. You know, if it's an articulated fight you won, and if it's for the purpose and the intent of the greater aspects and betterment of a sport, especially, you know, para jiu-jitsu, you know, I will go against the grain every time and catch every splinter. That's how life should be. That's what life is meant to be. I didn't mean to interrupt, so I'm going to go ahead and let Stacy answer Ron's question now.
Well, I was fortunate enough to get to share a room with Ronald for the few days we were in Abu Dhabi, so we got to do a lot of talking about the future of our sport. And I think the importance of our sport becoming as huge as what we all expect it to is our campaigning and our pushing forward and our constant love for the sport and the passion, bringing other people into it. Because without the numbers, our sport really won't get bigger without, you know, more than just us in the windows. And that's what's happening. A lot of people, it's becoming more on the main stage now. It's becoming, you know, social media has catapulted it, you know, into a new light. And I think over the next few years, as more athletes come into the sport, the interest is going to grow. And you're going to see a lot of organizations pick up para jiu-jitsu. We have several here in Canada. But again, the numbers aren't there for it to run its own tournament or even to run a real thorough division, because there's only a handful of us spread across the whole globe or the whole country. You guys in the States have a lot more athletes and a lot more people to draw from too. So I think it's going to get as big as the numbers will let it get to, if that makes any sense. I know a lot of people want it. Even the IBJJF, you can be sure they want to have para jiu-jitsu, but are the numbers there? And I think they're probably a little scared of, you know, maybe four people showing up, and then, you know, how do they say, okay, well, you fight you and you fight you. You know, it's who gets to decide that, you know. So there's probably some struggles internally with not just IBJJF, but other larger, you know, and even smaller organizations that do tournaments. But for me, seeing it grow as it is right now, even from the 2 years that we went to Abu Dhabi, the numbers were bigger. The interest was much larger. You know, so it's going to grow, but we just can't sit idly by and expect it to grow. I think we all have to put the work in. And bring it to the people that need to know about it, because so many people don't really even know what jiu-jitsu, you know, they know what jiu-jitsu is, but they don't know that it's available to them, you know. So coming out like we are and your program, you know, highlighting para jiu-jitsu athletes, it's huge to the sport. And I think with all of what we're doing, I think it's going to evolve in the next 3 to 5 years, but we've all got to keep putting in the work and plugging away and being on the mat. And for me, I don't see too many tournaments pushing a Masters 5 division, so I've got to be up against the young guys. It was a real honor getting to go with Ronald in Abu Dhabi. I was able to test myself, and I went about 4 minutes before my body gave out to his constant attack. So, but it's the beauty of the sport is what's drawing attention to people. It's they, you know, to see their loved ones or their family or their friends getting to experience this on the mat. It's overwhelming for people, and not just the athlete on the mat. I mean, I cry every time I get on the mat, but it's overwhelming for the people that care about that person, because they see that life changes, you know, before their very eyes for that person. Self-confidence is so much that comes from it. So it's our obligation to keep doing what we're doing to make this sport become what we all hope it will be. And I'm very certain that with what everybody's doing, it's a wave that can't be stopped. It's, you know, it's something that we all need, and not just us, but I think the world needs it. To be able to see people who are suffering and you know, find that kind of self-confidence where they've tried therapy, they've tried tons of things, you know, to pick their lives up, antidepressant drugs, and which leads to addictions and everything else. Ultimately, all they really needed was to wheel up to the mat, get off and lose sight of everything else that's not on the mat and just focus. And I think with all of that and the beauty of the sport, I can't wait to see the sport in 3 to 5 years. It's going to be something else.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm not going to wait that long. You know, I don't know how to give up, bro. You know,
yeah, no, I
the
know
only thing, Stacy,
sure.
Stacy, as long as you don't do a Do Hush Mish video with Ronald Mann, we're good, bro.
I mean,
we're good. But, you know,
my next fundraiser.
Oh gosh, here we go. You know, I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask maybe one or two questions more because I know you guys have to get, and I know Ronald's got to get to the mat. But would you say that? God, I guess the best way, Ronald already knows the statement because I used it in a different context, but that, I feel it's relevant on today's show. Do you feel that this is almost like a Martin Luther King moment? You know, there's been a lot of organizations that would step up, and instead of saying, I have a dream, they're saying, if I had a dream. Here we are. Now, today on this show, saying we have a dream, but this dream is becoming reality. What does that reality mean to you, Jess, knowing that with the opening of Fuji now, that others are going to follow in that precedence?
You know, I think it just means what we've all been talking about, just the rise of para-jiu-jitsu and the continuation of, you know, athletes coming to terms, right, just accepting who they are and having fun with competing and being able to compete with everyone else. I think basically that's just what it means. The I Have a Dream movement, I think, maybe is a bit broad. But, no, I do agree with you somewhat. Stacey, why don't you answer that while I collect my thoughts?
I think it's in its own right, it is a dream that we've all had, for sure. It's not the dream of, you know, the entire populace of the world, but for you and me and Ronald and Jess and, you know, so many others, it is a dream. Maybe some of us didn't realize it was a dream until it was put in front of us, and then it became the dream. For me, I didn't know that I could do jiu-jitsu. So it wasn't really my dream until I seen the beauty of it. And then it was like, oh, my goodness, how can I get into this? You know, what kind of modification paradigm do I have to apply to this process for me to get on the mat and do this? Turns out it's quite a bit. But I think it's going to change a lot of people's lives. And it is a lot of people's dreams to become equal. Maybe not to perform jiu-jitsu so much. It is to feel like you're equal to everybody. You know, I get friends that joke around, you'll never be like the rest of us. And it's all in joking, of course. But there's a reality to that sometimes. It sits a little bit heavy because you're right, my leg won't grow back. But we don't think different. You have your dreams and I have mine. They may be different, but we are all equal in that regard. And with what Fuji's doing and opening up a para division, it's huge because it's showing other places that, you know, it's time to pick this up or we're going to be left behind. So I think everybody's going to pick up this para jiu-jitsu for sure. You can't not do it when, you know, all of your competition is picking up para jiu-jitsu. It's something that whether you want to or not, you have to really look at it. And I'm really glad to be a part of it right now because people who practice the sport understand that, you know, oh, geez, that guy doesn't have a leg, or, you know, that guy doesn't have an arm, or, you know, she's coming in here in a wheelchair. Holy smokes, you know, who am I to complain about my sore back right now? And for those people, too, to see this sport with para-jiu-jitsu, you know, it's going to blow up because they all understand the struggle on the mat that can present. And, you know, the just being proud of each other because we're all on the mat together, able-bodied, you know, mobility impaired. It makes, you know, we're all on the mat and we're all equal. And they know that some people have to work a little bit harder to get to where we go, and to watch people actually do that, it's overwhelming. And I'm confident that other people are going to pick this up. It's going to become a thing.
Well, we're going to make it happen, you know. And I know Ronald knows this analogy because I used it when I was mad at him, but I'm going to use it a different complexity today. You know, I'm just honored that you, Jess, and you, Stacy, and even Ronald and the other para-athletes that I've had on my show allowed me to be that Rosa Parks. You know, because I could have been like everybody else and chose to sit in the back of the bus. but I chose to sit in front of the bus to make a statement because I know this aspect of life. I know that there is no difference in you or I or anybody else. I mean, hell, if you want to take it to that level, everybody's different. You look at people, they don't have morals. They don't have equal values, you know. So how does that make them any greater than us? It doesn't. And that's the statement I used earlier. If we were all blind, would we know any difference? You know, and we truly wouldn't. You know, I'm truly honored and blessed. I know all of you got to get to practice here, you know, here shortly, especially Ronald, because he cries about it all the time. But, you know.
I wish you'd take a few days off, Ronald. I got to catch up to you, you son of a gun.
Yeah, right.
I don't have time for that. Daddy Yamasaki.
I know, yeah.
But I'm going to ask one more question of you, Jess. If you had a statement that you can make to the young children that look up to you, that follow you, that might not necessarily be a para-athlete, but just admire you for the respect and the confidence that you've instilled into the sport, what statement would you make to those in your light, in your eyes, and in your words?
Yeah, I guess basically like a broad statement to a lesson that I recently learned is never say that you're going to try something. Because when you say you're going to try something, that three-letter word, try, you're giving yourself an out. Instead of saying, oh, I'll try, just say that you'll do it. Because, you know, when you put your mind to it, you can do anything. So instead of saying, yeah, I'll try that, just say, I'll do that. It may not be how you do it, but it'll be how you do it, you know. That makes sense?
It sure makes absolute sense. You know, I have one more question for you, Stacy, and I know it's in your heart. What does it mean for you to have the Canadian National Para-Jiu-Jitsu Association, and what does it mean for you to be able to share that message through them?
Well, I've faltered with this for the last year, contemplating do I jump in with both, I want to say both feet. Do I jump in with my one foot, or do I wait for somebody else to pave this road for people? And I've been really enjoying these last couple of years talking to para-athletes, and they've been literally changing my life with the way that they look at things. Cole Rogers, Rustin Hughes, Jeff Hughes, there's so many else, surely. It's become overwhelming to a degree. But what was the question again, Ron? I'm sorry.
You mean Don? It's not the Ron and Ron show. It's the Ron and Don show.
Ron and Don, I love that name.
What does it play in your heart knowing that the Canadian National Para-Jiu-Jitsu Association, you know, you have a voice through them. What does it mean for you to be able to share that?
It means a lot because it's going to help other people like myself get onto the mat. Whether they know it yet or not, it's going to help them. And hopefully this association, I mean, the plan is to help with disabled people getting them onto the mat, paying gym fees, you know, buying gis, getting them to tournaments and assisting them in ways, because a lot of the disability community, you know, they live on a disability pension. Like for myself, for instance, to come to the Fuji tournament, the LA Grand Slam, my son has American Nationals in Las Vegas, or the Las Vegas Open, I guess it is, in August. There's three destinations that I've somehow got to find a way to get to. And with the Canadian National Para-Jiu-Jitsu Association and sponsors through that, it's going to help Canadians get to your guys' tournament, which is going to increase them. So it means the world to me. It's something that's going to change lives over time. And I'm just grateful to be a part of it. It's an incredible feeling to be right at the forefront of this.
Yeah, it truly is. And Ronald Mann is truly side by side with me, you know, sharing the knowledge with the world. I know we all got to get, so, you know, it was truly an honor to have you, Jess, and to have you, Stacy, on the show. You know, Jess, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. If there's any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites, or anything else you'd just like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thanks. I am looking for sponsors. I'm a college student. I'm very poor. costume. Budget doesn't really allow me to travel very much, especially to California for two tournaments back-to-back, especially after I move, you know, to the city. I don't have any sponsors that really help with travel, so if you're if you're a brand's name out there, let's look it for an athlete to sponsor. I'm your girl. But I do want to thank I want to thank my coach Luis. You know, he's probably the biggest influence in my life right now, just because he's never allowed me to give up. You know, there's always days that I want to, like, I want to sit out in rounds. You know, I want to just leave the mats and cry. And he's like, you're not going anywhere. You're gonna get back on the mats and you're gonna drive through it. And I think I needed that push multiple times, and it's just become a habit now where I just grind through. And you know, it's come into my life where I just grind through daily stresses, you know. Our team's motto is promoting positive change. We all come from different backgrounds, different struggles. We all turn those around into positive outlooks through jiu-jitsu. And so, you know, we all just want to keep continuing this positive change, you know, trying just to help people realize, like, you know what, your situation sucks, but you can better it. It's just a state of mind. Just tell yourself, just give yourself the drive to push forward and succeed, and you'll be happy one day. Just change it all for the better. I think my dad's listening. Hey, Dad. I know my boyfriend's listening. Hey, Mark. but, yeah, I think that's it for right now for me.
Now,
thank you.
Now, where can, if anybody does want to sponsor you, where can they find you on social media, Jess?
Oh, yeah. My Instagram username is Jess Munster. You know, the Munsters, the TV show, the all black and white kind of gothic era. My last name, Jess Munster, but I add an S in it, Jess Munster. Or you could just look up my Facebook, Jess Munster. I'm on social media a lot, I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those type of people that I'm always looking down at my phone, checking my social. So you can just message me on there, and I'll get back to you right away.
Thank you so much. You know, hold on the line for a second, and we'll just all say our goodbyes at the same time. I'm gonna pass the mic to you, Stacy. Any sponsors, any friends, family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program? The floor is yours, brother.
Oh, thanks. Well, first of all, Don, it's an honor for myself and Jess to be on your program with you and Ron. What you're doing is huge. It's giving a platform to para-jiu-jitsu, and I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that, first of all. Second, I'd like to thank my family, my kids. Without them, none of this would be possible. I wouldn't be who I am today without them. As well as I'd like to thank Brian McGilvery, for sure, from our gym at home here, Gracie Baja, Edmonton. Pretty much everybody in that gym has played a huge part in my life. To name everybody, we'd need to go into tomorrow. But, I mean, you know, there is a few people. Ron Little, Brian McGilvery, Mikey Hay. Like, there's people in there that... they really help me. They push me. Sometimes I don't want to push, but yet they continue with it. And for an example, the other night I had rolled two rolls, and it had been a long day, and I was leaning against the wall opposite of the class who had just lined up for a new roll. And my professor says, "Come on, Stacy, up to the line." And I just give him the, "No, no, you go ahead." It's simple. I'm going to sit this one out. He's an old guy, old guy. So I looked down, and then I looked back up again, and the whole line was walking towards me, and they all leaned up against the wall and was like, "We'll wait." So they all waited for me to get my breath to get back in. I mean, it's that kind of push that, you know, it's funny, it's needed, and I appreciate it more than I think anybody could know. The Canadian National Para-Jiu-Jitsu Association just put out their webpage, the social media today. It hasn't been shared publicly yet, so it's new in the works. So today is the first day that it was officially put out into the public. But the object there is to line athletes up with sponsors and things like that. So, you know, what that is, it's a huge opportunity for para-jiu-jitsu in Canada, too. And there's a lot of other people that push the sport that's not in our circle. And at the end of the day, you know, I'd like to thank them for that as well, because, you know, they're making the sport larger. It's giving all of us more competition and tournaments. So I'd like to thank those people as well. But ultimately, my mom and dad, my three kids, Ryan, Jamie, and Shania, definitely. But other than that, that's
you know, my world is my world, and I'm grateful for being in it. So thanks for giving us this platform, Don. I really appreciate it.
You don't gotta thank me. This is just the beginning of a long road, my friend. I'm going to pass the mic to Ron and let him say his farewells or whatever he wants to do. But from the bottom of my heart, I'm truly honored that you both joined the program today. What you're doing is truly tremendous in my eyes. It's giving the world a harsh but, you know, tremendous taste of reality. You know, we're here. We're not going anywhere. We're persistent, and we're going to change the world, and we're going to create and make history. With that being said, I'm going to toss the mic to Ronald Mann and let him say his farewells.
All right. I appreciate it very much. Jess and Stacey, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You guys are my family, and the time that we've spent together has been short, but it's been very intense and very close. You know, I know some of you better than I know some of my teammates. So, you know, I'd just like to say that for me, this, we're not even doing this for us. We're doing this for the next generation and the generation after that. So they will have the ability to just automatically go into finding this lifestyle. And that's one of the reasons why I keep fighting. You know, it's not about the wings anymore. It's about passing this on to the next generation. And I'm fortunate to be gifted there. Stacey and Jess, I love you guys with all my heart. You're in my prayers and meditations. And I look forward to seeing you guys real soon in L.A.
Amen, brother.
Yeah,
love you too, man. Thanks for this opportunity.
Very nice
talking to you, Jeff. Nice hearing from you.
Yeah, no problem.
Really looking
God
forward
bless
to those,
you guys.
Really looking forward to those pictures.
Right. I wish
calling
you all.
On air.
Yeah, right. I wish you all the best of luck in the future. You know, this is the first of many times that I'll have you on the show, as I believe your stories are just being told. I look at life as a book, and we've only touched the first chapter. There's many chapters to come. There's many chapters in para-jiu-jitsu and creating the lifestyle and sharing it with the world. You know, I'm uniquely blessed with a brother like Ronald Mann and everybody involved. So on that note, I want to thank each and every one of you for making today's show. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you, and may the best things come to you in the future. And this has been a tremendous episode for me. It's been heart-touching. Let's keep this movement going forward. On that note, thank you all for joining the show today.
Thanks, Don.
And thank you. God bless you and us.
Us.
Ladies and gentlemen, truly a tremendous show today. Kind of heart-touching. You know, the battle has just begun for para-jiu-jitsu. We're going to make sure that this is just not going to go. We're not going to go away. You know, I keep forgetting that I am also a practitioner and a para-fighter. You know, much love to J.W. Wright for what he's doing September 8th. We will show up in force. We will be there, and we will do Fuji proud. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the86ers.net, BiteMeMouthGuards.com, and last but not least, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez. Without those gentlemen, any of them, I wouldn't exist. You know, I think the statement that I brought up on the show, that if we were all blind, would we know any different? And we wouldn't. But to hear the passion, the expression, and the heart and determination of these warriors that were on the show today truly shows that para-jiu-jitsu is here to stay, and that there is no definition of a warrior. On that note, I kind of want to just leave today's show with a little bit of music from my St. Lunatic fam, and thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Look forward to the next episode. Have a good day, and God bless.
She don't ever act right. Expedition.